Guardians going to be coming back home to start next week, Memorial Day. Los Angeles Dodgers will be coming to town. And to talk about it all, boy, thank goodness the Guardians got two wins in a row here. This is very nice. Curtis Danberg joining us here, Vice President of Community Relations or Communications and Community Impact. I beg your pardon. It's a big title.
Big
PR
title.
Guy. Just PR guy.
Kenny, are we going to that Dodgers game? My wife,
the 28th?
She issued the pass.
I thought she was going.
I was trying to figure
day
out a
game.
Way to take the kids, and we had to arrange the naps, and because there's two of them now, and so she put the kibosh on that. However,
see what the schedule holds.
However, Kenny, would you entertain going to that game with me, and we could do some nitty gritty baseball talk?
Yeah, we'll consider.
Or we could just go
thing.
Drink out in the outfield.
I was going to consider that too. I don't want to tell you. It's almost like we're
the
saying
weather's
it right
turning.
In front of our father.
The weather's
here.
Turning.
Oh yeah. Well, did you see? Next week. 70s.
Yes.
So this nonsense of this weekend can go away. Go away, bad weather.
Is real quick, baseball-wise, is Carlos Santana starting to turn it around
he
here?
Is.
Because
he is.
I we brought that up at about last
historically,
night. Historically,
he always
you.
Struggled in April.
Well, no, because Man. We had, yeah, I, yeah, and I was listening to the Afternoon Boys. It doesn't sound as good as when Nick says the Morning Boys. I was listening to Afternoon Drive.
Can't y'all get along, by the way?
Oh, no, what fun is
no,
that?
That's not fun. No, you got
to. You get along with everybody
spice
over there?
It up.
Absolutely.
Oh, everybody.
I am a locker room lawyer. I'm a clubhouse cancer, whatever you want to say. I'll tell you this. I heard them talking about Carlos Santana, and I know historically, and there was like a debate, is this historical Carlos or is this 39-year-old Carlos where it's like, hey, man, what are we doing here? Because eventually you're going to see a drop-off. But last night, good. The night before, very good, obviously.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that he's going to be able to do it because now that you have Lane Thomas back, you know, David Fry, I know, is working his way back up down in Akron. Please, refresher, how are we going along with Shane Bieber now throughout all this?
Bieber's finishing his kind of everything in Arizona. He should be going to rehab at some point. So hopefully, you know, late June, see him.
That early. I was thinking more July. I didn't realize
maybe
that.
Maybe July,
okay.
Like...
You
but he's
time.
Progressing well, so just knock on wood.
Yeah.
Let's keep going the right direction, and but getting those bats back is going to be a huge lift for the offense.
You're certainly right.
Would
about
you
that.
Call yesterday, like Mitch did earlier on, a statement game?
Yeah, interesting
for the Guardians.
That's a way to put it.
Hey, it's a good way to start the. You can't sweep a series unless you win the first game.
Yeah,
so, I think that was a good way. It was another rain mess. Like, hey, we've been used to playing in that, so I think we were prepared for last night.
What is the challenges that come with that? Like, because every year there's always like, well, there's threatening rain in the area, and then we sit there and there's clouds in the area, but nothing ever happens. I know we had one earlier this year.
Yeah.
I think you guys just had one on the road not too terribly long ago, and then the clouds did open up. Yeah, how do you go about that part of your business?
The delicate part of the business, because you're trying to – taking all these different factors, you're working with MLB, you're working with both teams, the umpires. We did have the situation like we didn't want to burn our starters last homestand, so we waited. They said the rain was coming all day, severe storms, nothing comes, and then they say you're clear, and then it rains.
Yeah.
So it's Cleveland. We've got that lake here, and it's unpredictable.
All right, so what you got coming up here, this would be on Monday.
You got Los Angeles here for a week.
Yeah, the Angels are coming to town.
Dodgers, then the Angels. So Memorial Day, we're already over 30,000. So get your tickets for Monday night if you want to be a part of it.
Kenny, we're going to get frozen.
Get a sellout.
We're getting frozen out.
I know, yeah.
We better
that's
get
Monday,
these tickets now.
Right? You're looking for Wednesday's day. We have Wednesday day game. The mystery reliever jersey giveaway on Monday. You don't know if you're going to get Gattis.
Don't open it yet. Hold
Kate
on.
Kate Smith.
Gattis, Kate,
Tim Herron.
Any of them?
It could be any
Eric
of them.
Eric Plunk.
No Eric Plunk.
Second
just those
reference
three.
This
Paul
year.
Osemacher.
Boy, that idea
lefty
for
on left.
Idea for next year. It could be anybody.
Anybody?
It could be anybody.
That could be fun.
I got it in my hands. I've got, what is it? The mystery.
Man, I got Tony Sipp.
Mystery reliever.
All right. You
want
to
open him up?
You want to go first? Let Owen go first.
All right.
Did Mitch get one?
Mitch got one, but he doesn't have a mic right now.
Yeah.
There's a chance they'll all be the same. So.
Oh, I love it.
Well, we'd save some. You brought in some for Kevin Stefanski. We got Coach coming in at 8:30.
Yes.
I have
got hot dogs for Coach and
the
jersey.
On the front it says Guardians. On the back it says Tim Herron.
The new
Tim
new jersey.
All right.
Folks, make that two Tim Herron.
Oh, my God.
All right, here we go.
I can't
collect
open my
them all. Bag.
Okay, wow. Here we go. Oh, Hunter Gattis.
Hey!
Wow. Hunter Gattis. There you go.
Just hoping we didn't get a Heron's dozen.
Two Herons and a guess.
Tim Richards had Cade Smith, so.
Can we trade?
He's already wearing his. I'm going to go work a deal.
He's already wearing his. Oh, my goodness. Mitch is holding it up in the window. He's got a Tim Heron.
A harem of Herons.
See how much fun this is?
That was an Owen line. That was a lot of fun. That was a hell of a lot of fun. So that's coming up on Monday.
Big game.
Hurry up and get your tickets as soon as you can. Go ahead there, Curtis. Sorry about that.
No, Angels come to town. So this one, the promotion schedule kicks in. So we've got our dollar dogs, $2 beers, free shirt Friday.
Oh, it's on.
City Connect. We've got a bobblehead for Tanner Bybee on Saturday and then First Kids Fun Day on Sunday.
$2
We're gonna be testing out. Yes, that.
$2 in the district at all?
Yeah, pregame in the district, $2 beers.
Now, weather,
make it happen.
Weather permitting on Sunday, they get to run the bases, right?
Yes.
Okay,
good. It looks beautiful all week.
That's always the fun.
We've got our new lights we've been testing. After wins, we've been flashing the lights. So buyer beware. We might have flashing lights. Even if the homer, we're going to be interjecting that. What you've seen in other ballparks, we have new lights. And because of the big crowds, we've extended the gates. So the gates for Monday night are 2 hours and 1.5 Tuesday, Wednesday.
Daryl highlighted, your Carnegie Club, which it looks nice. Can you open that thing up for like weddings and such?
Absolutely.
Events, things like that. That's cool.
New spaces.
By the way, just saw the trailer. Was it Superman? The trailer has the baseball field. We finally got the full look of what
that's
that was.
That's pretty cool.
And what was the team name?
Meteors.
The Meteors.
Metropolis Meteors.
See, now you got another night. Now you got another specialty night.
We might have something up our sleeves.
Oh, there you go.
Daryl also.
By the way, speaking of up the sleeves.
What?
Oh, we have a chance.
Oh, gosh, I didn't even see it. Go ahead.
Curtis came bearing all sorts tickets. Of gifts. We have tickets, ladies and gentlemen, right now. Be caller 9 at 216-474-0092. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Guardians take on the Dodgers Tuesday, May 27th, 6:10 p.m. at Progressive Field. That's caller 9, 216-474-0092 from the Cleveland Guardians and 92.3 The Fan. Good luck.
So you also have this thing called Tracked. TRAKT. Daryl, you know about this. Not setting you up for something cold here. Okay. Yep. So Daryl took a video down in the batting cages, and it sets up.
It's all about technology.
Yeah. It projects whatever pitcher you're facing so it can mimic the type of pitches you're going to get from whatever pitcher you're going to face.
Right-handed, left-handed, sidearm, different delivery, pitch mix.
My goodness.
So this way, if somebody's not in the lineup and wants to get some hacks in off a lefty because he knows he's going to face a lefty.
Yeah.
And go in there and get ready.
Do you have set up for an EFIS?
We could do an EFIS.
You have it set up for an EFIS.
I don't know if the batting cage would allow for the EFIS to happen.
Gosh. All right, Curtis. All right, everybody, go on over there. MLB.com/Guardian/tickets. Get your tickets. I got my MLB app. The ballpark
app.
That's the one. I like the ballpark
app. Nice and easy.
That's a good one. But yeah, get on over there now. It's coming up Monday, mystery reliever jersey. You go with a bunch of people. That's a lot of fun, that reveal. We just proved that. Also, you can get Hunter Gaddis, Tim Heron, or Cade Smith. Coming up then on Tuesday, they got the theme night with the Peanuts night as well. And then, of course, on Friday, you got everything going on with fireworks and dollar dogs and all the other things. And then, of course, you got it's all there on the website with the promotional stuff. And I got Curtis right here, so I didn't even have to say it. You could say it.
I appreciate it. You did a very good job.
It was kind of half-assed by me. You're much better.
No, that was good. And then it may be Wednesday, maybe during that day game.
Love to see it.
We could see Ken go plowing through the beer pyramid as only they can. At this. Did you see the video last week?
No, I didn't. I go plowing through what?
There's always beer pyramids. That happens especially on the $2 beer night.
Have you found people in other ballparks, because they wouldn't do this here, that have to protect the beer pyramid because we've seen ushers now having to sneak down the stairs and poke the beer pyramid down?
You don't want to do that.
But I've heard in other stadiums it encourages poor behavior, and you don't want something like that, you know.
Look the other way.
Guardians games of a party. Yeah, you hear that. Curtis.
Biggest bar in town.
Especially summer, man.
Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Continued success to you, my friend. Absolutely. Curtis Danberg, Vice President of Community Relations, Community Impact and Communications. He says, PR guy. I'm not going to say PR guy. You earn these titles for a reason. Curtis joining us in studio in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio. Guardians right now, they won last night. That's two in a row, by the way. So they're starting a four-game series during game two coming up tonight against the Detroit Tigers. And then, of course, they'll be back home to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Things are not the best that they've been here. They're still 27-22. We're still back. We're back in second place in the division, by the way, Tone.
Just like that. You know, the funny thing is they've played nowhere near their best baseball.
Things are not as great as what maybe some would hope here. At least they're not as bad as what they are in Pittsburgh, where their general manager, Ben Cherington, is being asked, are they willing to trade Paul Skeens?
No, it's not. It's not at all part of the conversation.
Paul Skeens' first big league start, his first big league appearance, May 11th of last year.
Yeah.
And they're already being asked, like, is it better if you guys just trade Paul Skeens? And it started to get me thinking here. Go with me on an odyssey, if you will. I'm going to try to get to this point quick here. Here's Jim Bowden yesterday from MLB Network and everywhere else. He's a venerable baseball man. He was on 2 days ago. He was on Afternoon Drive. He had this to say about the Guardians and what path they should take.
You are what you are in the standings. You know, you're a fourth-place team right now. That's what you are. And you look at where you are in team ERA and runs scored, and you can't deny that you're in the bottom third of the 30 clubs. That's not good enough. You know, we're almost at Memorial Day. After 2 months, you pretty much know what you are, and you get the next 2 months to fix it.
A little bit harsh. A little bit harsh. But maybe there's a dose of reality here, because even though I had it out with Andy yesterday, and again, the other stuff I'm not going to apologize for, but the whole, I heard him wrong, and I thought it was Jeff, or I thought it was him who was also, excited is not the right word, but more relieved that we would not have to bring up Travis Bezzana as of this year. Here is this audio from middays from the Talking Heads 2 days ago about Travis Bezzana.
So Travis Bezzana, 8 to 10 week injury with an internal oblique strain.
Am I jumping the gun to say, okay, we can cool all the talk about Travis Bezzana jumping up to the majors this year?
No.
I think that pretty much silences it.
Wait a second. I think so 10 weeks from now, gets him down.
It 10 weeks,
2.5 months. So they put us at the beginning of August.
August. Yeah, but he'd be coming back to the AA team in the beginning of August. You're not going to go out and train and try and rehab in Arizona and then jump to the majors.
Didn't you just say he's going to Arizona right now to rehab?
He's going to rehab. Doesn't mean
he's going to rehab at Goodyear.
Okay. So?
So you're going to rehab him and jump him to the majors?
No, you come back and play a little bit in the minors and then bring him up at the end of the year.
That's not happening.
I mean, I know the rules are different for how many guys you're going to bring up, but I don't bring
them
up.
That's not happening.
I hate hearing it. I hate the way Jeff's saying it. Jeff's not wrong. It ain't happening. I mean, he's not coming up this year. The clock would run on him, and I think there's probably a lot of people who are listening and go, yeah, Ken, no kidding. Well, I want to know, is that Stockholm Syndrome by me? Is that Stockholm Syndrome by Jeff? Like, Jeff's had it out with some fans about the Guardians here over these first 2 months of the season. Like, we had that one clip of Jeff. He was downright mean-spirited to the one caller about the Guardians and what they're doing. And when I put it out on social media, I go, hey, man, you guys can have whatever criticism of the Guardians you want. And there's some warranted criticisms here. We're not talking about trading Paul Skeens a year into this. We're not going to have a conversation about trading Travis Bezzana. Say Travis Bezzana starts off the year on the active roster next season, ends up being a great player. I don't think at the beginning of 2027 we're going to be talking about trading away Travis Bezzana. I mean, this is insane. This is what's going on over there is an affront to professional baseball. And I got a lot of people going, "Eh, we're not that much better." Can I go, "We're not that much better? How are we not that much better?" That there, I mean, that's a giant state park is what that stadium is. Go there and look at the scenery.
And it's empty.
And there happens to be some baseball in front of you, but really they want you to look at the skyline and the river and the beautiful stadium. That's all that is. That's all that is. This team, whether we like it or not, and I do like it, they're competitive, but they are competitive enough to get you frustrated because there is more that they can do, except they are, and I'm not going to say the S word, not going to say that, they definitely have limited funds. And they're dealing with television deal ramifications the same way the Minnesota Twins dealt with them last year. And here we are having to do it in our own right. And it makes the situation a little bit more difficult, and it makes it that much more frustrating with fans because they don't want to hear anybody crying about their money in professional sports.
Well, it's just the silliest of silly to have to even wonder, to worry when your team gets somebody as good and could be generational talent, right? That's what Skeens has.
Yeah.
who knows how healthy he'll be able to stay, because he is a pitcher and we know what happens. But I'm just saying, like, this is the one really dark part of this sport that, like, their fans are left to even have to wonder about that this early into a career. I mean, that's the worst.
Like,
at least we got LeBron for 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked losing him, but we got him for 7. Milwaukee's had Giannis for 11 now, well,
in,
12.
But in the other sports, let's be serious, you also have a thing where the other owner, if he believes he can win, he will spend into oblivion, and he's proved that before. And you have another owner that, boy, you can say what you want, but they have a strong salary cap, but you can go ahead and spend as much as you possibly can. And there is, if any great player wants money, you will pay him the great money. He has no problem doing that. Here, yeah, you got to be a little bit more fiscally conservative and fiscally responsible about it. But I got to ask you, though. I mean, I want to see this. I can only make excuses so long. I can only look at this from this prism for so long before I have to look at it and go, wait a minute, am I seeing the truth here? And I ask, like, has Jeff affected me with Stockholm syndrome in this? Because I'm not going to put Travis Bezzana up there because I don't want to hurry him just to put him in a major league.
But I'll never.
I don't want to hurry him back from an injury just to put him in a major league uniform.
I'm never going to root for not seeing exciting guys and putting that
even
off.
Even during a season
I'm never going to be in that camp.
Let me ask you.
That's not what sports is all about. I can't be bean counting. I can't be. You know, we've already been forced to talk about the business of these sports enough, where we're looking at salary cap ramifications. And I hate that in baseball, I've got to factor in the fact that the Guardians lost nearly $50 million in local TV revenue because of the deal. So that already sucks enough. You can't then, as a fan, you can't ask me to start to put off the excitement of a young player because it helps the team 4 years from now.
So you want to see Bezzana now?
Well, when he's ready. I mean,
you know what I mean. Yeah.
If he's truly ready, well, yeah.
Do you think if
there's room for him, you'd like to see him.
Do you think that this is a team that's going to be in the hunt at the end of the year?
Yeah, because of the wild card situation in the American League, I do think they're going to be in the hunt.
Do you believe that they can make any noise?
Right now, it does not look like it, but I do warn you, like, we still have David Fry and Lane Thomas are two pretty big cogs, and also Shane Bieber. Like, I don't want to write them off right now. It does not seem like a special team.
You don't want to be known as a hater, and I'm setting you up to be a hater.
I think I'm being honest.
I don't mean to do that.
I think I'm being honest. They don't seem like a special team, but it's also, man, I mean, we just played a clip, a former GM in baseball saying that, you know, after Memorial Day, you kind of are what you are. The thing is, we have not played anywhere near our best baseball, and I'm hoping, obviously, that's still ahead of us.
Well, I think we all are. But if you had to say right now, are they going to be a American League Championship Series team? As of May 23rd,
yeah, right now,
you would say
like
no. Then what's the point of bringing up Travis Bezzana and starting the clock on him? Well, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Jeff on this.
I thought the first year of Frankie, I thought they waited too long.
If they brought him up, they would have made the postseason that year.
Well, and I know you can look at wins over replacement and all that, but actually seeing how somebody like that could electrify not only a crowd, but just a clubhouse and can get them believing, I do think that stuff happens. And it's tough to measure the extent to which that can happen, but I think it does.
Because I could hear an argument about Travis Bezzana and say, well, if you bring him up, if he's good to go, if he's healthy enough to go, you bring him up in September, he gets to see big league pitching. And I'm thinking, he can see big league pitching in spring training, obviously, next year. He can see big league pitching in April of next year, March next year, or whenever they get it started, because you do have a CBA coming up here, which is going to be a little bit testy. So he could see that big league pitching to start a season. If they are not in a position that it can be competitive, that I can put him around hot bats, that I could put him around guys that can help, I'm not going to bring him up yet. This team has to gain consistency.
I think you're underestimating. Like, if this season just, if it isn't meant to be, if things go south, there's going to be a lot of doubt about this team the following offseason. Like, the very least you could do is get something exciting going and get people to believe in the following year. And I just think anytime you're holding somebody in the minors that has the talent and ability to be in the majors, I think you're underestimating the toll that that's going to play on this fan base.
I don't think I'm underestimating it at all. I'm looking at it for what it is. If somehow, if things got really good.
Like, if you want people to check out for as long as possible from baseball, do that. Let's keep Bizana in the minor leagues, you know, longer than he actually has to be.
Travis Bizana, an opening day starter for you? That wouldn't get people excited?
I think what would be exciting is to see him play with the big league club this year and start to see how talented he truly is.
Nah, man,
that's what'll get people talking all offseason.
If we're just talking about perfect excitement, I mean, opening day is opening day. But if I have Travis Bizana starting at second base in 2026 off the year,
but in both our scenarios, he's starting next year. Both our scenarios include that.
But why
wouldn't you want to inject some excitement and get people, especially, you know how dark.
If I'm out of the race.
Like, think
of the
Manny Acton years. You know how dark that was at the end of the season.
You're thinking of the years. I'm looking at a year. If they happen to be out of the race, like they're 5 games back right now. Say they were 8 games back. All right, you're not going to be in it. Now they're in the wild card. Say they're out of the race in September. Then what's the point? Because hell, if we're already competing for the eyes of everybody, we're all going to be paying attention to the Browns and getting ready for the Cavs in the first place. So why not get Travis Bizana up in the spring to start the season anew with the Cleveland Guardians? I don't have to rush anything back now. It sounds cheap. It sounds like Stockholm Syndrome. And quite frankly, it may very well be. But it still seems like it's the more reasonable, common sense move for a team that, no matter what I say, no matter how much I grind my teeth, is going to be as fiscally responsible as they possibly can in this climate of Major League Baseball. I can accept it and look at them for what they are, or I can just become a Pirates fan and see what type of cesspool that is, where they just take the bricks of the people that built the stadium and go and throw them in a dumpster. You're getting some weird texts over there, ain't you?
I get them all the time, weird texts.
About other teams of the AFC North?
Well, you know, Kenny, I am fully entrenched, especially because of all this Browns development, the Brook Park story. I've got my Columbus spies giving me state house information, real estate development stuff all over the state of Ohio because it's kind of all intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get weird texts.
And you got a text about the future of one NFL franchise in the AFC North. And their future.
Oh yeah, there are people that fully think this is going to become a you think the Browns saga between the city, between downtown, the county, and the Haslams is bad. They think the Cincinnati thing is going to escalate big time, especially when this one up here gets settled, because then it's going to be their turn.
I got sent something a couple of weeks ago, and I opened it up because it was odds on where the Bengals could move. And I thought, like, okay, Covington. And I go, what? St. Louis? Like, there was, like, real other places. San Antonio, St. Louis, Austin. Austin was on there. A bunch of other cities. And I'm going, what is this? London was on there, for crying out loud. I go, guys, I find the Bengals to be a whatever franchise for me in so many ways. I want to bring on Daryl with this. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I find the Bengals to be a whatever franchise. I have a lot more hate in my heart for the Ravens and Steelers. I know that they don't like us down there. However, I don't want them to have to move. I don't want their team to move. No. I don't want that to happen at all.
Yeah, and they got in late with the budgeting process, as Lima alluded to, with their ask from the state for their potential renovation of their stadium, which does need work. I would argue Cleveland and Cincinnati has two of the worst stadiums in the National Football League when you talk about what teams offer their fans from an experience standpoint, as well as just the buildings themselves. So it is going to be interesting to see what ultimately happens over. We got about another month of this to go. June 30th, that's when the state budget's got to be on the governor's desk for his signature. For it to get enacted, but you know, this is more than just about what the Browns need. The challenge for lawmakers is finding something that can help all the pro sports teams here in town, or I should say in the state of Ohio, with their current and future stadium construction needs.
Well, not to mention, Daryl, like the contribution that the state would be asking from the Brown family. We know the Haslams have made their contribution known, what it would be hypothetically. And it's obviously very controversial between people in this community on whether the Haslams are doing enough, whether they can actually spend more, how much this needs to be subsidized by the public. But down in Cincinnati, I mean, you're dealing with the poorest owner in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's not going to want to make any kind of a contribution. So the state might not want to do any kind of a matching situation here. What, 50%? So if that's the case,
actually it's 25 here for Brook Park.
Well, are you talking the real estate too, like the development component
the
of it too?
The state's not contributing. That's going to be privately financed by the Haslams and their partners.
Yeah. So what are we talking here? $600 million. Because I want to be
25% of the cost to build the dome.
The dome. Okay. So in Cincinnati, if they're not willing to do any of that, then I mean, you can imagine that would be on an open market where there are other cities that would take an NFL team. Could drive up the price, could force their hand. You have the Kentucky aspect of it as well. Would that state bend over backwards to help them out if Ohio wouldn't? So there's a lot to think about.
If you think Mike Brown's poor, you should see the state of Kentucky. They're broke. Kansas City right now is trying to keep the Chiefs and Royals. The state of Missouri has offered to the governor out there has offered to pay 70% of the cost. Ohio's contribution is going to be 25% for Brook Park. They're offering 70% of the cost for a new ballpark for the Royals and a new stadium for the Chiefs. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs would like to build the dome. So would the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders. The Tennessee Titans are going to open a dome here in a couple of years. Jacksonville is getting a roof on their stadium. The Houston Texans, whose stadium opened in 2002, it, I guess, needs billions of dollars of work. So they're thinking about just building a brand new dome for the Texans down there in Houston. There's a dome arms race about to break out around the National Football League. And so, it's not just the Brown Stadium situation. It's not just the Bengals situation. There's a lot of teams around the league right now that are looking for new buildings, and they want roofs on them.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, Chris Olave, if you're the Browns, do you go after him or are you standing pat?
I think that they need receiver help. Unless Kevin Stefanski wants to go out there and run some routes and catch some footballs, which, by the way, Coach has some great hands. I saw him doing work the other night at his Keepers Foundation Under the Lights camp down at the stadium. And we've seen a couple of videos in practice out there in Berea where he snags footballs out of thin air. But yeah, I think that Andrew Berry has to keep looking at that room to try and find some ways to upgrade it. Part of the reason I was so much on the Travis Hunter train going into the draft. Because I thought he would be the number one receiver. Like, Jerry Jeudy's good. I don't think he's a number one wide receiver, and I know some people will take that as, like, I'm ripping on Jerry Jeudy or criticizing him. I'm not. Like, I think he is a great number two guy playing the role of a number one receiver. I kind of feel like the Browns still need that number one receiver.
You know, we had talked before about a potential Aiyuk move. What about where the Browns are at right now in just their build here? You know, we obviously know that a lot of people think this is going to be a rough year unless one of these quarterbacks emerge in a big way. Vegas has them at like 5.5 wins, if that. So does that make sense for them to try to help out their quarterback with a receiver, but at the same time have to turn around, trade assets for him and then pay him?
It's right now the quarterback is the biggest unknown quantity, right? Maybe they have something in Dylan Gabriel. Maybe they have something in Shedeur Sanders. Maybe they magically fell into something accidentally with Kenny Pickett. I don't know. But they have an opportunity to find that out this year, right? And then they're armed with the two draft picks in the first round next year if a kid becomes available. There could potentially be a franchise quarterback. They're positioned to go get that guy. But at the same time, I kind of feel like the Browns are a quarterback away. Yes, the offensive line is going to go through a transition here after this season. But the defense is built fairly well. When you look at the offense, outside setting the quarterback thing aside, I think the receiver room is really the only one that I look at, and you know, I feel like an upgrade. You know, they could use another piece in that room. So I don't think that when you talk about where they are in their roster building, Anthony, I don't think the Browns are that far off. The problem is they need the biggest piece of the puzzle right now, and that's an unknown quantity.
Darrell Ryder joining us on the show. So as you see it shaken out right now, I mean, I want to ask you something else here first. Do we need to see anybody this year? Because my whole thing I said to Darrell, what I said to Lyman, people got upset about it. Well, not that many people, but some did. I said, you know, Dylan and Sanders, it's great, but I'm just going to kind of look at it and say, if these guys can't beat out either one of the two older guys, then I don't really need to see him on the field. I got over the argument with DTR last year, like, oh, we got to see what we have in DTR. And Lyman right. said it himself, like, yeah, guys, you know what you have in DTR. This is a team that's desperate for franchise quarterbacks. If they don't trust either one of these two guys to go out there and beat either one of these two birds, then I don't have to deal with any of it, and I don't need to see them.
I think it's a fair point you make. There is a big part of me that feels like, you know, put the kids on the field and see what they have. You know, when you're trying if one of your goals this year internally, obviously externally the goal is to win as many football games as possible and, you know, hopefully compete for a playoff spot. But internally, realistically, if one of your goals is to figure out, okay, what are we putting in the quarterback room this offseason, right? Then I don't know how you accomplish that goal by playing Joe Flacco. And I say that with all due respect to everything that Joe did in 2023.
Didn't sound respectful to me.
Coming off as, I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to figure out, can Dylan Gabriel play at this level? Can Kenny Pickett play at this level? Can Shedeur Sanders be that guy? Like, I kind of feel like you got to see him. You got to get the game tape. So a little bit of catch 22 there from my standpoint.
Yeah, but my whole thing, because I'm just like, man, they should be, this is set up that either one of them would get a chance to beat these guys in training camp. Like, right. Okay, if you can't beat Kenny Pickett and you can't beat the 40-year-old journeyman, because that's what it breaks. I know we love him here, but that's what it breaks down to everybody else. Then I don't need to see you out there.
Speaking of not sounding too respectful there, Ken Carmen.
Well, yeah.
You call him a journeyman.
Well, yeah, is that not what he is now? I think he'd even call himself a journeyman.
I'm not disputing you. I'm just, you know, handing it right back to you.
That's true.
but, yeah, I mean, you're right. If these guys can't beat out Joe Flacco or they can't beat out Kenny Pickett, yeah, there is a serious question to be asked. What's there to gain by seeing them this year? You know what? I think just this is just my take. I think if the Browns had the luxury of making the choice, I think that they would prefer to go with Flacco or Kenny Pickett and let Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders learn a little bit this year. But that's just my gut feeling on that, my own personal opinion.
Darrell, thank you for the time. I'll see you in hell.
Have a great weekend, guys.
The Dangerous One, Darrell Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.